tonight. So the passage of Scripture is from Mark. It is Mark 4, 1 to 34. So we're going to have, that's quite a large amount of Scripture. There's four parables within that section of Scripture, including Jesus' explanation of one and reason for the parables. So we have a huge amount to work through, and I'm going to try and get us through there because the reason it's worth digging all these together, even though each one of them probably deserves a sermon on its own, well and truly, is that as we look at them as a big piece, Jesus spells out for us that one of the purposes of the parables is to reveal the mystery of the kingdom of God. And by seeing them all together in the order that they've been given to us in the book of Mark, we will be able to see this unravel before our eyes and see the story that he's telling. So I'm going to really skim across them very much, but hopefully we'll be able to pull those key insights out that will show us that bigger picture of the mystery of the kingdom of God. It's in the book of Mark, and the one thing I love about Mark's book is it's so methodical, and it's also so deliberate. Like, there's nothing in there that shouldn't be in there, and there's nothing missing that should be in there. It's like every idea that he creates builds on top of one another. It's wonderfully crafted, and it's a beautiful piece of scripture that allows us to see these things. And this section is absolutely no exception to that. Each idea adds to and builds on the one before until we ultimately see this revealing of the mystery of the kingdom of God. So you have to bear with me as we work through, because I'm going to sort of plow through it and we'll get heaps of information, but hopefully at the end it crystallizes together into one important insight for us all to walk away with. Where have we gone? So the four parables that we'll look at tonight, there were many parables taught by Jesus, so these are very deliberately chosen, and there's actually one in here that isn't spoken about in any of the other accounts. So very deliberately chosen and brought together. So we might as well just jump straight into the scripture and we'll work through it. So I've got, I should turn this on, that'll help. Okay. I've broken into sections for you because there are a lot of different ideas throughout this portion of Scripture so that we can kind of bite it off in chunks as we work through. And again he began to teach by the sea. That's Jesus teaching. And a great multitude was gathered to him so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parables and said to them in his teaching, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seeds fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased and produced, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." But when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, "To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, but they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterwards, when tribulation or persecution arises for the world's sake, immediately they stumble. Now there are ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires of other things enter in, choking the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Also he said to them, "Is a lamp brought to be under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Then he said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you, and to you who hears, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. And he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crop by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. And when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. Then he said, to what shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what parable shall we picture it? It is like a mustard seed, which, when it is sown on the ground, is smaller than all the seeds on the earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all herbs, and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade. And with many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. But without a parable, he did not speak to them. And when they were alone, he explained all things to his disciples. So we've just read a series of four parables within that scripture, and Jesus explains what the parables are for, but it's sort of pulling back just to the, you know, the core of what is a parable. So a parable is an illustration of truth used of a picture taken from common experience. So the hearers are familiar with the context that they're talking about. He uses images like seeds, plants, harvest. They're all things that the hearers were very familiar with. The earthly picture of what he's explaining is perfectly clear to them. They can picture what he's saying, but there is a heavenly meaning that isn't entirely clear or evident to those who don't have ears to hear. Now, the mystery of the parables, to some, they would hear it, they'd cast it off as foolishness or think that it's pointless. But for those who have ears to hear, like, for example, the disciples and those that were around them, they then went to seek out Jesus. They wanted to know what this parable was. They wanted to know the meaning. And so it made them hunger to understand the heavenly mysteries behind the earthly story. And when they sought that, Jesus did share with them the meanings of those. So even though these were mysteries, they weren't mysteries to be kept secret. I mean, he himself said that the secrets are to be revealed and to be shared. And you know, now we have them in scripture for us to understand today. So we'll jump straight into the parables. So I'm going to dwell on the parable of the sower a bit more because, I mean, as Jesus kind of points out when he goes through and he says, if you don't understand this, how are you going to understand the rest of the parables? And in that, he was kind of telling us that this parable is the key to understanding the other parables. So once we get our head around this one, we can bounce through the others because the imagery makes sense and the ideas that he delivers within this parable also exist within the other parables and they build on each other. And they just kind of flesh out that picture that we're looking at. So because I'm going so quickly through this, I would really encourage all of you to go home and read through these parables again after this, because there is so much in them. And I don't want you to miss out on a lot of the great insight that's in there, and I'm going to skip over most of it tonight just to make one point. So we'll be looking at the big picture. That's the combination of all the parables. And so, as I said, we'll spend a little bit more time on the parable of the sower, but stay with me and we'll get through it. Okay, so I've split up in the different colours there to kind of help you pick them out, is the different outcomes of sowing a seed to the ground when the farmer sows a seed. So the first one, the seed fell by the wayside and the birds of the air devoured it. Then he sowed seed on stony ground. There wasn't much earth and it sprang up immediately, so it grew. But when the sun came, it was scorched, and because it didn't have the depth of root, it withered away. The next seed fell among thorns. The thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. And the final seed fell on good ground and yielded a good crop that sprang up and increased and produced. Okay, so Jesus explained this one for us. So this one we've got, we have absolutely no question about what it means because Jesus was very clear in explaining what it is. And it also then is the key to understanding the others. So I'll work through the core ideas in there and then correlate that with the scripture where Jesus explains what it is. So we can see from Jesus' words what they all mean. So when the sower went out to sow, Jesus clarifies for us that the sower is sowing the word of God. So the seed that fell by the wayside, the birds of the air came and they devoured it. He explains that these ones, where the seed falls by the wayside, is when people hear the word of God, but Satan immediately comes and takes that word away. And so the word that was sown in their hearts is stolen from them straight away. The next image that he's got is the stone, the seed that fell on stony ground. So there was a bit of earth there. It sprang up. It responded to having the word in there. But then the sun came up and it was scorched. And because it didn't have the depth of root, it withered away. Now Jesus explains how this happens. He said, when they hear the word, immediately they receive it with gladness. So it's people who receive the word and they can recognize that it's good. The problem is that they don't have the root in themselves, and so they endure only for a short time. So they might be people that you would see who respond to the word of God, but then struggle to embed it and end up falling away. So the thing that comes up that drives them away is when tribulation and persecution arises from the world, immediately they stumble. So because they didn't have that strong root and that strong root in the understanding, then they struggled to be able to stay with it because things pushed them to and fro and suddenly they just ripped out. Now the next seed fell among thorns. The thorns grew up and they choked it and it yielded no crop. Jesus explained that they're the ones who hear the word, and the thorns that he talks about are the cares of the world. So the cares of the world came on them. There's the deceitfulness of riches, the desires for other things entering in to choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. So the word is in there and it gets choked by, the encroaching sin, by our temptation, by our desires, and then it doesn't have that place to then bear fruit. And the final image he gives us is the seed that fell on good ground, and it yielded a crop that sprang up, increased and produced. I mean, this is what we hope that all of us are as we receive the word. And these are the ones that it was sown on good ground, and for those who hear the word, accept it and bear fruit. And he talks about the increase of the word within that person going on from there. So we see four very different images of, when we deliver the word to people, when we share the word with other people, what could go on? And it's not up to us to determine what's in somebody's heart. It's up to God and the Holy Spirit to work on their heart. But this is an image that we start to see of as we spread the word, what happens? And that's a mystery to us because we can speak to somebody and we can see them receive it or not receive it. But ultimately, we don't know what goes on in their heart and inside them to determine whether they then take hold of that or whether they leave it behind. And God gives us a look into that. So to build on these ideas, he then went on to teach the parable of the light under the basket. So this is the next sort of picture that helps us understand the mystery of the kingdom of God. So here's the scripture. He asked the question of them, is a light brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? So that's an image that they're very familiar with. So every Galilean house, there's probably three things that all of them would have. They'd have a lamp, they'd have a bed, and they'd have a measure of corn, their food. And the measure is something he refers to in the second part there. So when he talks about having a lamp, it's obviously foolish that you light a lamp and then you put a basket over it so no one can see what's in the lamp. So he's giving them this thing that was, it relates to them. It's obviously foolish. It's something they understand. The light that he's referring to is like the seed of the sower. It's the word. It's the gospel. Jesus is telling us that we should be sharing the gospel, teaching of the word to be a light to the world. And if we're a light that never illuminates anything, what good are we? And because if we keep the light under a basket, then that doesn't actually impact anything or do any good. It's waste. So the section picture he talks about really addresses that idea of waste towards the end, but also challenges their way of thinking to some regard. So the people, they had their measure of corn, and they would have had this idea of scarcity. Like, they understand they've only got so much food, and if I were to give my food to somebody else and freely give of that, then eventually I'm going to run out, and I don't have enough food for myself. So that's the image that they're naturally comfortable with, but he challenges that way of thinking. I'll read through the scripture. So he says, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. So a measure of corn is a measure they have, they would literally have a measure that they would then pour into their basket as they take it away. So the measure that we use in giving out of our light or of the word is the measure that it will be given to us. And to you who hear, more will be given. So as we're giving to others, we're giving them more than they had. But God is also giving us that measure back. And so for whoever has, to him more will be given. But to whoever does not have, even that which he has will be taken away from him. So what we're seeing here is this picture of actual exponential increase of the word of God. It's saying that we should be sharing it, because as we're giving it out to others, we're not giving away anything that God isn't going to give back to us and replace with us. Our measure is going to be measured back to us. But as we give to other people, we build the measure in other people. I mean, that's why, like, when we go to things like our Bible studies during the week, they're really encouraging, and we always walk away feeling uplifted and encouraged, because what we've done is we've shared of the Word of God and we've received of the Word of God. So as we've shared to others, we've lost nothing, and as we've received from others, we've gained, and we all walk away with a greater abundance. And so it's this exponential increase and this ability to increase by sharing the Word of God. So it speaks of being able to grow greater abundance. But the warning at the end is essentially use it or lose it. If you sit on the Word of God, if you're that light that's under the basket and you don't share it, if you don't use it, God's going to take it away from you. So it's important that we get out, we share the Word of God, and we share the gospel. So now we have an idea of essentially what our part to play in it is. God's given us a light, and we are to not put it under a basket and to share his word. Now the next parable is the parable of the growing seed. A sower sows the seed, which is the word, the same imagery that we've had from the parable of the sower. And we've learnt that's because the people, the sower, who is the person who has the light, didn't put it under a basket, they shared it. But the thing is, we don't know how it grows. So that's a mystery, and we can't see it, but Jesus tells us how it works. So the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He should sleep by night, rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how, for the earth yields the crop by itself. So when we look at it and say, so we've sown the seed, we've shared out, now what do we do? What does the farmer do to make this seed grow? And the answer is nothing. Ultimately, the picture that we're being shown here is that the growth doesn't come from us. In our studies that we've been doing during the week with the Bible studies in 1 Corinthians, is a great section of scripture, which is really encouraging, really, where Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. So all we do is share the word, and God will ready the hearts that it lands on, and the growth that comes from the word from there is up to God and the Holy Spirit. And the wonderful thing about that is that because God does this work, I mean, that's where the glory happens. That's, we're going and we're just essentially sharing something that's been given to us as a gift, and then it grows into something incredible, and that's where the glory happens, and the glory is God's in that, and that's quite amazing. So we'll keep going, because otherwise we'll be here till midnight. So the parable of the mustard seed. So this is the last of the four parables, and this is an amazing picture which really ties it all together so we understand what we're looking at. It's like taking a big step back from what we've been talking about. So he says, to what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it? He says it's like a mustard seed. Mustard seed is very, very small to anyone who hasn't seen one. Actually, I have a picture soon for you. So when it's sown in the ground, it's smaller than all the seeds of the earth, but when it's sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all the herbs, and it shoots out large branches so the birds of the air may nest under its shade. So we're talking about incredibly small beginnings into becoming something incredibly huge. It's an image that they could understand. Mustard trees are very, very large, and they understand that, and most of them would be familiar with a mustard seed. So this parable in and of itself, it's a nice picture, but it's in the greater context that it really takes on its meaning. Really, I'm not going to dwell too much on this, because while I draw all the pictures together, it ends up drawing the picture of the mustard tree almost by itself. So we'll probably move on to that. But ultimately what we're looking at is something very, very small that then became one of the greatest things in creation from a very, very small beginning. Okay, so here's a very quick synopsis of the kind of the key points. So I know it's words on a slide, which is not always great, but we'll work through it, and hopefully it'll draw this picture. So the mystery of the kingdom of God. So the mystery of the kingdom of God ultimately is how God's kingdom grows and how this is the simple act of sharing his word then results in lives that are transformed and many lives that are transformed, not just individuals. And the secrets revealed in the parables. So we'll work through them quickly in order so you can start to see how it works. So the sower spreads a seed, that's the gospel, and that lands on people's hearts, which was the image of the ground. And the state of their hearts will determine their response. And the one responsible for the state of their hearts is God and the Holy Spirit. The parable of the lamp under the basket. So the word is spread, and it is spread by us. So we should go out and share the word. Our part to play is to share the word with those who don't know God and even those who do, because as we give of our measure to others who do, we'll then build them up as well. And also there was the warning in there that we're to use it or we'll lose it. And the parable of the growing seed. So we don't need to make seeds grow. God does. So when we plant them on people's hearts, it's not to us to fret about what's going to happen now that I've done that. It's God's work ultimately. And the parable of the mustard seed. This is the result of the work. So we spread the gospel, we share with people, and it will then spread across the globe and see growth in his kingdom. So the amazing image of this is the church. The kingdom 2,000 years ago was a mustard seed. So 2,000 years ago, there were 120 people in the upper room waiting on the promise of the Father, which is the Holy Spirit. This is after Jesus had come, he'd walked with man, he was God in flesh. He, because of our sin, he went to the cross and sacrificed himself that we might be forgiven. He was risen again by conquering death, and he then appeared over 40 days to many before he ascended to heaven where he is right now at the right hand of God. And even at that point, the kingdom of God was a mustard seed. It was 120 people in one room. Jesus had come and he'd done the work and he'd delivered the work of salvation. And the kingdom that he was then going to build started as this small mustard seed. And now even we just look at today, realistically, we have a mustard tree. The gospel is proclaimed all over the world. And every day there are multitudes of people who are hearing the gospel and they're being saved from their sin. They're realizing that they need a savior and they're coming to salvation. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit and it's the sharing of the gospel. So in this mystery that's revealed to us is how did we get there? And Jesus was telling us this before he'd even established that mustard seed to begin with. And really, so the sower is you and I. We sow the seed of the gospel as we share the word, not keeping our light under a basket. As the word is shared, it increases exponentially. The seed of the word lands in people's hearts, and some will be hard ground, some will be rocky, some will be thorny, and some will land in good ground. The growth of those that land in the ground is then the work of the Holy Spirit, and those seeds will grow into plants, and those plants growing will then spread the word. They'll sow more seeds, and then they'll spread and sow and spread and sow, and it continues to grow and grow exponentially. Ultimately, the Holy Spirit will grow those seeds and it will increase the word. In the end, what we need to do is just be obedient to share the light, the word of God that we've been given, because that light is a light in the darkness and it's food for the hungry. I mean, the image of the lamp is a light and a light to share in the darkness. And the talk of the measure of corn, there are hungry people that we can feed with this word. And it would be selfish and wrong for us to keep it to ourselves and not share this with others. But once we've done that, the real work is the work of God. Because the work of God is growing that seed within the person's heart. It's actually changing someone's life. It's bringing them into an understanding of Christ's impact and the salvation we get through him. So it's the real work is done by him. And ultimately, that all leads to God being further glorified by taking a mustard seed and turning it into a mustard tree, which is the greatest in creation. When we look at trees as being the greatest in creation, we look at his kingdom that he started as a mustard seed, which is now the greatest kingdom in creation and always will be, and it will be for eternity.